Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am Jordan Patswold. It's the last Friday of the month, and joining me in studio is David Disty, registered counselor, and we have another edition of Heart to Heart for everyone today. Over the next hour, we invite you to call us up 306-783-5160. We don't ask your name or anything like that. Of course, if you want to go further with your conversation with David, you can reach out to him afterwards too. David, great to have you back here at The Rock. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jordan. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, we have a great show lined up for today, and this time of year, summer's over, fall's over too, it seems like, even though, never mind, it didn't even come this year, but oh boy, the start of school, the fall activities, winter activities, harvest, this is a very busy time, and with busyness can come stress.
Absolutely. And there's always stress in life. And so often we talk about, well, we need to eliminate stress. We've heard a lot of stuff about, well, stress causes heart disease, stress causes all sorts of health issues. We want to stop stress. But there's always going to be stress. So what do? We live in fear of stress, or do we do something else? Today I want to talk about a different way to look at stress.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than something evil to be avoided, how can we use stress? And so I've been going through a book by an author called named Kelly McGonigal. She wrote a book called The Upside of Stress. And so I heard about this book. It's like The Upside of Stress. I thought stress is something that we always have to get rid of.
Mm.
But yeah, there's some amazing research on stress and different ways to look at it that can actually be healthier than trying to avoid it. Because like you said, well, this time of year, there's lots of stress. But wait a second. 2 months ago, there was a lot of stress in going on a family vacation. Before that, there's a lot of stress with school exams. Before that, there's a lot of stress with Easter and Christmas. And no matter what time of year or what phase of life, there's going to be stress. So we can't really avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
How do we deal with it differently?
Now, this is neat, too, because just from the angle of being a counselor, just even I know just from talking with people who they host retreats for pastors, and how for them, so much about the people that come to them are pastors who themselves, if you will, have just faced just such insurmountable challenges or obstacles in their profession. They're focusing so much on, you know, how they can be of help and service to other people. That's their profession, much like yourself. You're helping others.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there they are themselves, the pastors, or for you yourself, a counselor.
Yeah.
Hey, you're facing these challenges too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so often pastors feel alone, like they feel like they have to be the upstanding ones. They have to have the answers for everybody else. And if they show that they have any questions, then, well, how do I trust my pastor? And oftentimes they can feel alone and have to deal with it all by themselves. And that's not healthy for anybody.
No.
And the same things, like you mentioned, for me, for a counselor, then, well, I'm supposed to have all the answers, aren't I? And a doctor, people talk about, well, a doctor, why is he going through all these health things? And maybe he's not a good doctor. Well, what does a doctor do when he needs help? What does a pastor do when he needs spiritual direction? What does a counselor do when she needs help with dealing with different aspects of her life?
Well, and that's so interesting because you're right. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't think anything of a doctor who is going through health challenges because, I mean, hey, they are human. Their profession doesn't disqualify them from or prevent them from encountering, doesn't give them any kind of immunity from life's physical challenges, even though they are, in fact, the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why should we expect people like pastors similarly in that regard?
Mm-hmm.
They are going to have their own life obstacles. And even for yourself and through this book, it's fascinating and totally makes sense how, hey, yeah, I'm a counselor, but I got to look to sources as well to, you know, maybe for some guidance and how I can tackle some of these things. So I'm excited to learn more about this because, yeah, stress certainly, it can certainly, well, to differing levels. For some, it can be in the background and they just fight through it and can kind of carry on, if you will, pushing it to the back of their mind. Maybe that's a strategy even that we'll talk about a little bit here. Others, though, the stress can just be so overwhelming, crippling even in some ways, that it might even scare them from even wanting to get out of bed in the morning.
And both those responses, the feeling crippled by it isn't helpful, and also kind of ignoring it, pushing on the back burner isn't helpful either, because both of them don't address what's causing the stress. They don't change how you deal with the stress. It's just kind of, I'm going to go about life in the exact same way that I've always done. And the stress does come out in negative ways when we do it that way. There's a lot of interesting research on when we feel emotions, our heart rate goes up. And then when we're able to actually put a name to that emotion, say, you know what, I'm really afraid, or I'm really angry, or I am frustrated, or I'm lost, or I'm confused. When we're able to actually say that word, name the emotion, it brings our heart rate down. We literally calm down a little bit when we are able to say what we're feeling. And so if we ignore the stress and just pretend like it's not there, then we're not looking at it. It doesn't bring our heart rate down. The stress is still going to be there, just boiling in the background.
So people will call it stress, but in all likelihood, though, stress is just such a general, non-specific word that really we have to go beyond that.
Yeah, stress is a very general word. So you can feel stressed when you're going to go skydiving. You can feel stressed when you get a bill in the mail. You can feel stressed when you're parenting. You can feel stressed in any situation at work. And so, yeah, it's very general. And there's a bunch of different ways that we can look at it, and a bunch of different responses that we have instead of that being immobilized by it or ignoring it.
So then that's what you're saying, though. It's so important then to look beyond than just calling it stress, but to say, okay, I'm not necessarily stressed about a test. I'm scared because I'm not well informed enough to take this test.
Yeah, to name the emotion, I'm scared. I'm angry that I have to retake it, or I am whatever the emotion is. Name that emotion out loud, and that in and of itself can help bring some degree of calmness too.
Now, I'm curious too. I know sometimes in the sports world, just being a sports fan, I can make this connection. The word pressure gets thrown out there so much more. I've never really heard an athlete be asked about the stress that they feel, but more so the pressure. Do you think they're just one of the same in a lot of ways?
Yeah, they can be just different words. So an athlete definitely does feel like a stress response. Like when we talk about stress, there's a way that our body physically responds. And an athlete has those same responses, whether they call it stress or pressure, six of one, half dozen the other. But how they use it is very important. Like, you don't want an athlete to not feel stressed. You don't want them to go into a playoff game and say, eh, no biggie, I play the same as always. You want them to have that intensity because it's still stress. It's the same thing as I feel when I go up on stage to speak publicly. It's the exact same or a very similar physiological response, but the athlete uses it to do better.
I was just going to say, because that's, I think maybe here how it can tie in, is that so many athletes have referred to it as how, here I can turn this into a positive, or if I don't feel it, it's almost alarming to them because they want it to be there because it keeps them on high alert, maybe a little bit extra.
Yep. Yeah, you can use that response to physically give your muscles more strength. It focuses your attention. So when you hear people talk about like being in the zone, that's because of the stress response. It's an important thing. You wouldn't feel like you're in the zone if you weren't feeling that stress response. So it focuses your attention, heightens your senses, increases your motivation, and gives you more energy. Like, your muscles can physically work better if there is that that stress. So if we look at a stressful situation and say, you know what, I'm just going to try and not be stressed, then we're missing out on that attention, those heightened senses, the motivation, and the strength that we do get from it. If we try and squash strength or squash stress, then we miss out on pieces.
Interesting. All you ever wanted to know, Heart to Heart with David Disty, our guest today from Disty Counseling Services, talking about stress, obviously not just different kinds of it, but more so how to tackle it, face it head on. Great.
Yeah, so that rising to the challenge is one way to use stress, but there's others too. Like, it can also help us to connect with others, so we can be more, we can help others and therefore help ourselves too. Help us to understand better about how we deal with others and how we can work things well together, and it decreases our fear and gives us more courage if we turn to others. So like the going back to the athlete, there's the physical response that gives them strength, but they can also look at things, well, how am I going to use this stress to motivate my teammates? Mm-hmm. And there's where you talk about an athlete who is really good in the locker room, about motivating others and encouraging others. That's a vital piece of a good athlete, is their ability to connect with others, not just what they can do on the field or the rink.
I think we've talked about this before, even in terms of communication that families have with each other,
yeah,
or how friends can really help friends during different dark periods of their life, just because so often someone wants to just let it all out. Mm-hmm. Right. And sometimes as a friend or even a spouse or a parent, it's maybe that first inkling to want to just jump in there with, all right, here's how you can tackle it. We want to provide that counsel and advice for that person about how about going about it this way or going about it this way. And then sometimes that person doing the responding is maybe not providing what that person is actually after. It could be a case of that person just wanting to rant about how tough that day was, and just wanting to let it all out in that regard without, you know, being interrupted in regards to suggestions of how they could have done that better, and just getting on the same page, because that can certainly go a long way. And well, if you're not giving what that person wants, you might just be adding to that stress. So going into it, it's like, hey, just wondering, hey, it's okay if you want to rant, and I'm here for you to give you that listening ear. Hey, do you want some suggestions how this could help you, or how I think it can help you? Often just a little bit of extra communication can go a long way into helping that person in that stressful time.
Yeah, I love the quote, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So we need to listen and hear and show the other person that I'm on your side. I understand what you're going through before we give that advice. Because if we go through and give that advice, the other person goes, can go, well, no, you're not really hearing me. You're not really understanding what I need, and can just totally shut off. So that's definitely not going to help.
Well, and here we are in this day and age, too, a lot of time people feeling whether they are more stressed or than ever before or what have you. Oftentimes it's really giving that person our undivided attention, which is just oh so tough when so much is trying to get our attention in terms of, you know, our smartphones, for example, right? How this is such the thing that it was supposed to connect us all together, yet so often it's doing the exact opposite. We're only half paying attention to someone when they're talking to us. Or even if we're trying to watch a TV show with a loved one and there they are, you even paying attention to the, right? It's just funny how that's all happened. At the same time, we need to be better as a whole, not just lumping myself in here or accusing others. Hey, I'm in the same boat. I know I got to do better when someone's, hey, putting their heart out there and wants me to hear them.
So often we're focused not on listening to the other person, but thinking of what am I going to say next? What's my response going to be? And that doesn't help. And I think this way of looking at stress, this, like they call it, you may have heard of the fight or flight response to stress, that our heart rate gets going, our breathing starts going faster, and we have the, our body wants to either run or fight or just freeze. So it's the fight or flight response, but we can call this other one kind of the tender and befriend response too, where, okay, we can use that same energy, that same stress to kind of build relationships. So a great example is with parenting. It's stressful. Okay, Johnny just did this, or Susie just went and did this. I just got a phone call from the school. What do I do? And we can use that in that fight or flight response, or we can use it to say, to turn to our partner and say, you know what, honey, what do we do with this? We got to figure out how to do this together. So we're on the same page, that we have a good understanding of what's going on. And to turn to the kid and say, you know what, what's going on your side, instead of just going straight to anger or you're grounded. Not saying grounding isn't a helpful tool, but to use that relationship to address the problem as well.
Yeah, and that's a good point, just because from previous conversations too, when it comes to when something such as people in such, you know, having such mental anguish or issues with mental health, it's coming up with that root, like what is going on here, right? Like in terms of sadness or behavior that is potentially acting out maybe in a violent way, right? It's not so much that, oh, my kid is sad. It's not just, oh, my kid is fighting. It's what is causing that?
Yeah. What's causing it and how can I address it? And
then eventually that will help control that bad behavior or not necessarily bad, but just harmful or
unhelpful in that situation. Unhealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can kind of tap into that too. Like if your kid is, if they are upset, you can tap into this kind of tend and befriend response by putting your arm around them, by just putting your hand on theirs. And that physical touch brings a person's stress response down. So instead of saying, oh, just don't worry about it, ignore it, going in and physically being there, being physically present with a person, touch goes a long way to bring them down to a place where maybe they can think through it differently. And maybe your suggestions of how to deal with it differently or look at it differently, maybe it'll be effective once you help them calm down by that touch.
And I know as a parent of two young ones right now, the hardest part is the difficulty of communicating with particularly the little ones. I want to know what's going on, but they just can't communicate that back to me. And that often can make it all the more stressful. And then I'll know very well in the future, because looking back, I probably was the most annoying kid to my parent. Well, what'd you do today? Nothing.
Nothing.
So, oh boy.
It's
I can see why you think that the stress is going to weigh as the kids get older. But oh boy, new layers are just waiting in the horizon.
Just like we wish, if only I can get through the stressful season of life. Well, this particular stressor might leave, but there's going to be another one down the road.
Yeah, so different form, if you will.
So we've talked about a couple of different ways to respond to stress. One is like rising to the challenge, which is that the athlete that gets more energy from it. It's like going on a roller coaster. You're using that stress to be excited. And we talked about the attend and befriend, where you connect with others and work together. There's also a response to stress where you focus on learning and growing, where you're stressed about a situation and you can think back, okay, how did I deal with this before? What's a new way that I can deal with it? How am I going to grow from this? To look at this rather than this is something that I need to stop. What is the value in this? How does this help me? So that's a totally different mindset as well, rather than I got to change it or I got to get rid of it. How is this going to help me? So that's things like going to school is very stressful. How can I use this? I'm going to have to learn throughout life. I was talking with my son yesterday about reading out loud, and he's saying, I am terrified of reading out loud. I don't like it. I was like, well, buddy, we got to learn how to do it. And frankly, the fear is likely always going to be there. Might not be the same, but it's something that we need to do and grow from. Kelly McGonigal actually talks about a study that they did where they put heart rate monitors on skydivers, both novice skydivers who were doing it for the first time and experienced ones, professionals who do it daily. And they found that the professionals, the ones who did it all the time, their heart rate was higher than the novice ones because they were so excited. And so you can take that energy from the stress and use it for good. You know what? This is a good thing. This is an exciting thing. I'm looking forward to this. It's tough in lots of situations to look at it that way, like, oh, this exam that I'm going to write, it's terrifying to write an exam. But you can turn it around to energy too and think, you know what, I'm going to study better because this is something I'm passionate about. I'm going to do well because this is a route towards what I really want to be doing in life. So expecting the stress to go away, expecting a heart rate to go down isn't necessarily true. Like the experienced skydiver, their heart rate will be higher than the novices.
Yeah. That's interesting, just comparing that to the exam, because, I mean, for a grade 10 or a grade 11, if they were listening, they should be in school, but making them excited over a test. But yet, there it was, in a way to put it, of how this is all part of a journey, if you will, and just a step in the path kind of thing. It might be a big step, small step, but I know you don't want to tell, I could say, hey, it's this test that's worth so much of your grade isn't a big deal kind of thing. But at the same time, in the big picture, being able to just realize, part of the process. And those stress that can be felt, turn it around and do something with it that can be positive. And mm-hmm. yeah, part of a very long journey.
Yes, absolutely. It's not something that anybody really arrives at or achieves. Kelly McGonigal, the author of this book, I'm guessing that she still has to rethink the way that she looks at stress or feels stress every now and then. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to totally get there, but we can always be moving forward.
Mm-hmm. All you ever wanted to know, heart to heart with David Disty of Disty Counseling Services. If you want more information about anything we've talked about today, throw out the credit for that book there, David.
This book is by Kelly McGonigal, and it's called The Upside of Stress.
And just with how it works out, is it all just written in a format for someone to read? Is it in the form of workbook where participants are throwing their own little notes in there as well, like some of the other workbooks we've talked about?
In
what form does it come?
Kind of a mix of both. There's a lot of reading in there, but every now and then there's a section that is just a place for you to reflect, mm-hmm. to think about how do I transform stress? How do I think about it differently in these different situations using these different tools? It's a bit of both.
Excellent. We'll keep chatting with David here on Heart to Heart, All You Ever Wanted to Know, in just a moment. Back here on All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart with David Disty, handling stress. Boy, I know it's a hard time for a lot of people, but David, like you said, when we talk about stress, there's always going to be something in the horizon. And I know just in general, just the uncertainty of the future, boom, that in itself, it's like you say, you can't just narrow it down to just simply stress, but really getting behind the root of what's causing it, and to really identify that this is really what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Uncertainty of the future for some. Well, it's just maybe fear of, unknown expenses might creep up, financial difficulty. Is this rain ever going to go away so the harvest can come off the field? Is it going to get worse than just rain, right? Mm-hmm. So all of this plays into it. And I guess sometimes, I know for myself, sometimes a comfort can just simply be, just worry about what's in front of you first.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just can't worry about so far ahead. Just worry about the here and now. There's a plenty. And again, it's not shelving it kind of thing, but hey, there's enough on the plate right now. Let's tackle what's in front of us right now.
Yeah, use that energy to tackle what we can do rather than just focusing on the possibilities out there in the future.
Hypotheticals, if you will.
Yeah, hypotheticals. And we can use, even when we are worrying about the hypotheticals, you can use that sometimes to connect with other people that might help get through that. You can use that like through a support group or starting a support group. Lots of different ways. I want to read a excerpt from this book by Kelly McGonigal.
Sure.
She says, rethink stress. What brings meaning to your life? Take a few moments to list your most meaningful roles, relationships, activities, or goals. In what parts of your life are you most likely to experience joy, love, laughter, learning, or sense of purpose? When you've listed a few, ask yourself this. Would you also describe any of them as sometimes or frequently stressful? We often imagine how ideal it would be to get rid of the stress we experience at home, at work, and in pursuit of our goals. But that isn't a realistic possibility. We don't get to choose between a stressful or a stress-free experience of family, work, community, love, learning, or health. If there is something in your life that is both meaningful and causing you a great deal of stress, take a few moments to write about why this role, relationship, activity, or goal is so important to you. You might also consider writing about what life would be like if you suddenly lost this source of meaning. How would you feel about the loss? Would you want it back in your life? So we look at life or as stress as something, I want to get rid of that. But she says elsewhere, too, that a stressful life is a meaningful life. If we didn't have stress, that would probably be an indication that, we're not doing anything that is we really feel is important. So stress is a good thing because you're going to have that stress whenever you're working towards something meaningful.
Yeah. For myself, just knowing the difficult days with raising toddlers, right?
Yeah.
Just how, those kids can just make you run tired. Cleaned up that mess. They're making it again.
Mm-hmm.
To think what life would be like without them.
Mm.
Oh, man, that's incredibly painful to imagine.
Yeah. Because
they are so much a part of who I am. And what I want to be and why I'm doing it is, just the Mm-hmm. Oh, when you get right down to it, yeah, definitely stress worth having when you really think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Kelly says, what would it be like if that stressful aspect of your life were removed, whether it be parenting or work or family or anything? What would life be like if you didn't have that stressful thing? It would be less meaningful. So to try and get rid of stress isn't a good approach.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, and even just the obstacles that would be without it, if that's case in point, someone feeling about their job, for example.
Yeah.
Just the stresses that a job can bring really comes down to someone really weighing the pros and cons of something, too. Because maybe there can come a light bulb that goes off that will just say, hey, you know what? There really is, after doing all this research, that there's more good than harm potentially that can come from something. Maybe I gotta look at taking things down a different path, really outlining, because there might come that moment where it's just like, yeah, I might not make as much, but if I'm happier in the grand scheme of things,
absolutely,
hey, that's gonna take a whole bunch off my shoulders. So in that kind of examination, you might still come up with some healthier options for one's life.
Yeah, that definitely rings true for me, like going, branching out and quitting my job and starting my own business. It's like, oh, that's, anytime you quit your job and start your own business, that's going to be a wage cut for sure. But it's something that brings life, it brings vitality. So it's good. But yeah, you got to be careful and balance that. I'm not saying everybody go out and quit your job, but yeah, don't feel tied down to something because, oh, that's just what I have to do. Kelly McGonigal also talks about values. We're talking about how stress is there because of things that are meaningful to us. So if we can look through and figure out what are our values, do we value hard work or competence or curiosity or discipline or interdependence or tradition? What are our values? What's important to us? And how do we use these values? So when we think about our stressful day, we can think back and think, okay, I know these are my values. For me, creativity, competence, are those are big ones. It was a stressful day. How did I use competence, as an example, in this day to do better? How did I use the stress to perform better? And when we look at it that way, it's not that, oh, I got to get rid of the stressful stuff. But you know what? I'm doing well. And that's part of why the stress is there. I'm doing well. And I'm going to keep on using that stress to do well. So for me at work, I'm like, okay, I might be stressed about dealing with this difficult situation, but that's going to drive me to succeed and thrive. So you can look at in the past, how did I use my values and how did that impact my stress? How did it relate to stress? You can look at tomorrow. You know what? I know my values are of accountability and adventure and happiness and politics or whatever that might be. How am I going to use those values tomorrow? You know what? I value happiness. So what am I going to do to bring that to somebody else or to me? So looking back over the past day or past months, looking forward to tomorrow and the goals and directions you have for life, if we can understand our values, then that helps us to use stress in a good way, to point ourselves in a direction where we're stressed about things that are important to us because we want to be stressed. That might sound strange to you, but stress, as we've been saying, is helpful, and we're not going to have a stress-free life anyway.
Yeah, no matter where you are across the board, because there are going to be the challenges that come their way, if you will. And I think what's important, too, is to just recognize as well that there's ways of, like, you know, looking on the brighter side of things, which, again, it's not necessarily shelving that stress and putting it on a shelf and not ever addressing it. But just it can come to just, again, that whole matter of handling it, right?
Yeah.
And presenting is like, okay, yep, this is what's before me, but I feel like I have the energy to tackle and, you know, face it head on. Again, just because you're looking on the brighter side all the time, it doesn't mean that you're not, you know, addressing it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Just a
different strategy of how someone is taking it on, if you will.
If the thing that you're stressed about is something that you can deal with right here and right now, then yeah, use that stress like we talked about before to gain that energy, to gain that clarity, and go and do the thing. But sometimes it helps to go and do something else as well. So we talked about the tend and befriend response earlier, and it helps if you can, when we're feeling stressed, to go and do something for somebody else, to go and cut a neighbor's lawn or shovel their sidewalk, to go and visit someone in a in a retirement home to just sit down for a coffee with someone who needs an ear. Doing these things for other people helps us feel more alive. And a lot of people say, yeah, but I don't have time to do that. I'm too stressed to have to deal with all this other stuff. But ironically, when we make time for these things, then we have more clarity to do the things that we were stressed about. And we can do them with maybe less of the overwhelming or negative stress that we may have experienced.
Well, and I think here's what's so important to also address as well. This is where coming to, say, someone such as yourself, even as a counselor, David, because being able to guide people on that path, that this isn't a case of, you know, someone trying to figure out, like, hey, what's wrong with me, right? This is a case of more so at your role, if you will. You're not about telling people, like, this is what's wrong. It's more about helping people along that way to handling what's going on in their life. That's more so your role rather than this is why things are going this sort of way. It's more so, here's what we should try for you.
Absolutely. It's not focusing on the negative, but we're focusing on the positives. It's like, it's not bad that you're pursuing these values. These values are important to you, and we can use those things. And yeah, you can come and see someone like myself for that, and you can go to a life coach too, like Leanne Lester or Roland Legg. Seek out those people too. They would be great at helping you in exploring your values and how you can live to a fuller potential too.
All you ever wanted to know today, Heart to Heart with David Disty. If you would like to set up an appointment or a session with David, you can call him 306-316-0101.
Yep, that's right.
All right. I've learned it enough times. Good. Or ddisty@gmail.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break here, but we'll be back more with David on All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart. Here on All You Ever Wanted to Know, it's Heart to Heart with David Disty, handling stress in the busyness of life. And David, I know with a lot of what we've talked about today, and what's so important is recognizing that, hey, stress isn't always a bad thing. But that being said, there still are very unhealthy forms of it that we should be getting rid of in our lives, especially the ones that are easy to just potentially rid ourselves of, you know, thinking maybe the world's the most scariest place out there kind of thing. Well, what's telling us that message? Oh, it's social media bombarding us, or the TV channels I watch, or the TV shows I watch. There are certain things in life that are well worth getting rid of in a lot of ways to make things easier for ourselves in life, though.
Yeah, there's things that are well worth getting rid of, but if we look at getting rid of stress in our lives, then we run a risk there, because the research that Kelly talks about is that the negative effects of stress that we've always been focused on, like heart disease and stuff like that and then different diseases, it's not just the stress in our lives that causes that, but how we view the stress. So in the research that she talks about, the people who had higher levels of stress but viewed it as a resource were the healthiest. The unhealthiest were the people who had high levels of stress and viewed it as a danger. So like you talk about things like maybe reducing how much news we watch and get stressed out about. But you can also watch that news and use that stress to do something about it, to turn towards building a relationship, to be an advocate in the world, to be a force for good.
Okay.
So that stress isn't necessarily a bad thing, but how we look at it. Do we look at it as, oh, this world is a terrifying place and I'm going to hide in my shell? That might not be a good response. But if we look at that stress and go, you know what? I can make a difference. I might not be able to change world politics, but you know what? I can go to that lonely neighbor and just chat for a while.
Yeah.
I can make a difference.
That being said, staring at the screen for 24 hours, we can all agree that that's not very good, though, if that's all you're doing.
Yes.
Like you say, it's about taking it that step further, using it as a vehicle. And that's a good point, because I was just going to say how something like Facebook or Twitter, people can be so argumentative, and I can be just as easily dragged into that and getting into these like kind of fights and debates or something to that effect. But I don't necessarily have to close my account, but just change my behavior, being trying to be more positive anyways. Or
and when you see that debate, rather than going and just going tooth and nail to prove that I'm right, well, what can I learn from it? Because a big thing is, like we talked about earlier, there's three different stress responses we can use. One of them is to learn and grow. So if we see all these debates, think, well, what can I learn from this? How can I, if I'm proved wrong, great, because then that means that I'm learning and growing. I don't need to be right all the time. I might be right, but I learn more if I'm wrong.
Okay. So again, just that balance and trying to, that's a very good point, because just look at the way a lot of those tools initially had their use for is just being like Facebook, for example. Long before people were sharing news-related links with each other, it really was that place for pictures of family.
Yeah.
It was a great place for sharing those memories, if you will, of what was going on in someone's life instead of just all these crazy political debates. Let's go back. Let's realize, hey, there was so much good that came from those. And then, yes, even with the political stuff that is going on, still trying to use it as a way to grow, to be better, rather than just go in there with a sword and ready to fight and think what we're doing is the one and only right way of looking at things.
That doesn't help if we go in with this is the one and only right way to look at things. If we're kind of in an echo chamber, we only hear our own voice coming back. We need to expand ourselves and think, okay, what are other views on this? Because I may be right or I may be wrong. And if I can understand why somebody thinks a certain way, then I can maybe make a better decision. I might come to the same decision or I might not.
Okay. Almost definitely. All right, you're going to read a couple more selections from the book.
Yeah, there's one here that I thought was pretty interesting. And she talks about transforming stress, turn adversity into a resource. So yeah, I'll just read the kind of exercise she talks about here. She says, bring to mind a stressful experience from your past in which you persevered or learned something important. Take a few moments to think about what that experience taught you about your strengths and how to cope with stress. Then set a timer for 15 minutes and write about the experience, addressing any or all of the following questions. What did you do that helped you get through it? What personal resources did you draw on, and what strengths did you use? Did you seek out information, advice, or any other kind of support? What did this experience teach you about how to deal with adversity? How did this experience make you stronger? Now think about a current situation you're struggling through. Which of these strengths and resources can you draw on in this situation? Are there any coping skills or strengths you want to develop? If so, how could you begin to do so using this situation as an opportunity to grow? As I was just reading that, I was thinking about a TV show that I've been really interested in watching lately. And there's one guy that said, we're not winning these matches, but each time we're learning different ways not to lose. So we lose one, and then we do something to fix that. And eventually we're going to get to a place where we run out of ways to lose, and then we win. So looking at that adversity, how do we learn from it? How do we grow from it? What did we do before that helped us grow? What did we do before that helped us get through this adversity? And how can we use that now?
Yeah. Well, even in those victorious moments, those who excel even further are the ones that even look at the victories in life and still looking on ways to build upon them to go such a long way as well. And that can really separate or create that difference in terms of how much more someone's better able to handle those stressful situations potentially.
Yeah. Not going through and maybe not being paralyzed by the fear that what if I fail? I like a quote from one of the people in Dragon's Den. It's important to fail quickly. It's not about making the perfect decision and not failing, because we're all going to fail, but make a decision, do it quickly, and learn from it. So in that Dragon's Den example, you're going to build your business by making mistakes, and it's okay. Make a decision, stick with it, and see what happens and learn from it.
All right. I hope they got a good deal.
I have no idea. I don't remember the context, but...
Great. Couple other portions?
Sure. Yeah, I'll read another section. She talked about transform stress, turn isolation into common humanity. When you feel isolated or alone in your suffering, try connecting to the truth of common humanity. First, allow yourself to feel whatever thoughts and emotions come up when you think about your own situation. Acknowledge whatever the underlying pain is, anxiety, physical pain, anger, disappointment, self-doubt, or sadness. Then consider the possibility that this source of suffering is part of the human experience. Just like you, countless other people know what it's like to feel this pain, regret, sadness, injustice, anger, or fear. It can help to bring specific examples to mind, situations that aren't identical to yours, but that involve the same kind of pain or stress. Allow yourself to feel a natural sense of empathy for those people, an understanding of what they must be feeling in their own situations.
Yeah, that one certainly connects in a big way, and that's where I think something like social media, well, there is a place that I know, as much as it's known for that whole divisiveness, there's also been many times where people of all stripes have come together for some kind of common good, if you will, something like a GoFundMe for crash victims or something like that in that regard. What really hit a lot of people and made it connect that, yeah, it was a hockey team, but boy, there were a lot of kids on that bus, but there was even a couple parents who at some point everyone said goodbye to their kids on a bus kind of thing. There was able to be that connectivity of, wow, that could have just as easily been someone connected to me.
Yeah.
In that way. But things such as, you know, sharing of experiences, something like those Let's Talk campaigns that really have helped just create that overall awareness for those that are dealing with, in this particular case, mental health issues.
Yeah.
That that they're not alone, what they're going through. It's not something that's just them facing this dragon, if you will, on their own. That there are a bunch of people who are just like me that are going through this issue. Yeah. There is help. There are resources for someone in my situation. Mm-hmm. And just knowing those sorts of things are certainly very powerful.
And there's so many support groups out there that you can look into. I remember after the birth of my oldest son, experiencing postpartum depression, and I had no idea that dads could get postpartum depression. And so went on, just Googled it and looked up, found this support group for dads. And I was like, really? There are this many dads that are dealing with postpartum depression? I had no idea. And knowing that I'm a part of something bigger, made it a little bit easier to face, because knowing that I'm not alone, it was powerful. And there are so many different things like that. Like you mentioned Facebook, and there's a great group on Facebook for dads supporting each other. I looked it up and I was like, wow, there's like 15,000 people in the support group for dads.
Wow.
Amazing. And there's like addictions recovery support groups on Facebook, and tons that you can look into to go, you know what? I don't have to fight this alone, because I'm not alone. I'm not the only one dealing with this. Guaranteed there's other people dealing with this.
Good point. Again, going back to the start of this segment here, it's not about running and hiding from even something such as social media, if you will, but using it for an effective way and in a positive way. Just such a great example for just handling stress, period. It's not about just running under the desk until it all goes away. It's a lot of it comes down to confronting it, and not necessarily confront in that negative context.
No.
But just being able to tackle it on, and the more people on your side, the more easier it can be.
Yeah, and it's amazing, like there's so many different areas of life that this pops up in, that if you avoid stuff, it doesn't make it better. We found with anxiety, if you let a kid stay home from school because they're anxious about school, it doesn't make the anxiety go away. When we are anxious about something and we hide from it, the anxiety ends up finding something else to be anxious about. And so we hide from that thing, and then the anxiety finds something else, and then we hide from that thing, and then we're in a little cell of that we've created. So I'm not saying push the kid who has to go back to school, but why is the anxiety there? Why is the stress there? Why is the person dealing with it in this way? And address that rather than saying, okay, you can just stay home, or okay, you don't have to deal with this difficult part of life. Because if we keep on running away from things that are difficult, we run out of places to run.
And for those needing that help to, you know, come along that path, of course, there are resources from
Absolutely.
Counselors such as yourself, David, to just even a regular trip to your general practitioner or family doctor. It all starts even in that way, too, because mental health, as we've talked about many, many times before, just as huge as physical health. Because, hey, let's face it, physical health in itself is going to cause stressors as well.
Yeah, and they're all tied together. Mental health and physical health aren't separate. They affect each other. Our brain is part of our body, and it works all together.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, thanks so much once again for coming on All You Ever Wanted to Know today. Again, if people want to get a hold of you and reach out and maybe set up maybe a meeting with yourself, let's run through, again, your contact information.
Yeah, you can give me a call at 306-316-0101 or email me at ddysty@gmail.com. That's ddyste@gmail.com.
All right.
And again, the book that we've been talking about is by Kelly McGonigal, and it's called The Upside of Stress.
The Upside of Stress. Again, mm-hmm. if you've missed part of our conversation today, you can find it on the Rock 98.5 website, on our audio on demand page. And that is our program for today. Thanks again, David.
No problem. Thank you, Jordan.
All You Ever Wanted to Know on the Rock 98.5. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.